Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. And this is some of the opening music to the opera Dido and Aeneas, a late 17th century masterpiece by Henry Purcell. Back in 1989, the American choreographer Mark Morris unveiled a version of this opera with dance. In fact, Morris himself danced the roles of both Dido, the Queen of Carthage, and the sorceress who is plotting Dido's destruction. Now, it's not unusual for a choreographer to be a huge music fan, but it is unusual to see one in Mark Morris's role in this performance you're hearing, because Mark Morris is conducting the ensemble. And he'll be leading both his dance group and his music ensemble in a series of performances at BAM later this week. Today he joins us here in the Soundcheck studio. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
Let me ask you kind of a nuts and bolts question. How did you, maybe even a more interesting question, why did you start conducting? What was the first inspiration that got you to pick up the baton?
Well, my company's been around for a very long time, since 1980. And in whatever year it was, the 25th anniversary, a long time ago, we were putting together a retrospective of some of my old work and the newer stuff. And we did shows at Brooklyn Academy of Music and at my building across the street. And we were bringing back the Gloria of Vivaldi.
Right.
And that was a very early dance of mine. And I'm sorry to say, I was getting tired of watching it and rehearsing it and performing it and coaching conductors to conduct it for my dance, because I had choreographed it years ago to a recording, which I don't do anymore, but in those days I had to. So to keep my interest, my executive director, Nancy Yumanoff, of my company, suggested basically to do something or move on, I'm euphemizing, and to why not try to conduct it myself. Yeah. And so I was very scared and daunted and thrilled and excited, and I thought it was a good challenge. So I studied with several people, Craig Smith, the late, great Craig Smith, Jane Glover, friends of mine who are wonderful conductors with whom I've worked. So I wasn't just doing Bugs Bunny waving the gloves around, although
right.
He's a very good conductor. So I did that, and that emboldened me to do more. So I don't do a lot of stuff. It's all pretty much in my repertoire, although I've guested elsewhere. Dido and Aeneas I took on a few years ago and have been conducting it ever since. And it's a wonderful sort of depth into the piece that's different from having danced it.
In introducing you, I sort of glossed over the fact that you danced both roles in Dido and Aeneas, Dido
right.
the queen, the evil sorceress. I mean, at this late date, you know, we see things like The Hard Nut with all the gender bending, you
mm-hmm.
know, and people are really into it and enjoy it. In 1989, what did people make of you dancing Dido and the sorceress?
Well, there were people who thought it was the greatest thing ever and loved it, and then there were people who thought it was the worst thing ever and hated it, just like everything else. But, you know, it's a tradition that's as old as show business, as old as
yep.
storytelling. So I also just wanted a really good part, because I wasn't dancing that much with my company. It's like, well, let's see who should do the starring role of this piece, me. So I did. You know, I choreographed the parts on different dancers so I could look at it, and then I learned it, because
uh-huh.
what's worse than, you know, it's like the equivalent of singing in the shower. Everybody's great, but you don't want to hear it. So you think you dance great, and it doesn't mean you are.
Right. And the choreography and the singing, they're linked, right? I mean, each singer is paired with a dancer.
In Dido and Aeneas, yes. The band and chorus and soloists are in the pit, and all of the storytelling visually is done by dancers, partly because the piece is so concise, and, you know, like the choruses are so short, and, well, it's very erotic for one thing,
yeah.
and it's kind of funny, and it's a tragedy.
Yeah.
So, and that's all within about an hour, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. So in Act One, there's a duet between, you know, the two leading female singers and a chorus. Now, is that matched on stage by a dancing duet and then a more ensemble thing? Is that how that works?
Yes. I'm sorry to admit that, but that's true. But also, of course, it takes watching and not just listening to me describe it on the radio.
Right.
Like, what I want you to do is come and see it. But yeah, it matches very, very closely. And there's a great deal of gesture in it. I stole some from American Sign Language and from turn of the last century modern dance. And so it's very gesturally communicative. The dancers, even if it wouldn't sound great, but the dancers can sing the whole thing straight through because we know every syllable and every meaning. It's great.
Well, let's hear a little bit. This is from a performance conducted by Mark Morris. This is a little bit of Act One of Dido and Aeneas. That's a little bit of Henry Purcell's opera Dido and Aeneas, a little bit from Act One, conducted by Mark Morris and featuring the Mark Morris Dance Group Music Ensemble. That is the official name, Mark, of the. Now, you have paired this opera, which you told us a moment ago is just about an hour long, with another English opera, a later one from the 20th century composer Benjamin Britten. And it is just like the perfect kind of complement, time-wise, to do two operas in one evening, isn't it?
I think so, yes, definitely. We did this program only once before, historically, at Tanglewood, and in a double bill with my company doing Dido. So although Curlew River doesn't appear in it, it's fully staged and choreographed in its way.
Mm-hmm. And it includes Isaiah Bell, who is also here with us. And Isaiah, you take on the role of the mad woman in this. Now, is the piece written that way?
Yes. Well, Britten and his partner, Peter Pierce, who was a tenor, as I am, were traveling in Japan, and they watched no performance of this, the piece that this is based on, Sumitagawa. And they were so inspired by it that they wanted to sort of bring it into their idiom. And so in no theater, all the roles are played by men, and that's just a traditional, as in, you know, certain Shakespeare and prior to that, where women weren't allowed on stage. And, of course, because Britten wrote many of his juiciest roles for Peter Pears, it was an obvious connection that he would write this for a tenor and Peter would sing it.
Now, it is based on No Theater, and Mark, that seems to be reflected in your staging of it. And to talk about the complement between the two operas, one is the cast is all in white, and the other the cast is all in black.
Yes, and it's basically the same setup. The decor is, it stays the same, it just looks completely different. And indeed, Dido is fully black, and Curlew River is fully white. But also the gender thing, the sex thing, also relates to the fact that Britten wrote this for an Anglican church performance. It was one of his church canticles. So it was all male singers, I mean, you know, all whatever they are, you know, the choir, whoever. I don't know the churchy stuff, but I was lucky enough to see it this summer at the Lincoln Center Festival. I saw Sumitagawa two times with the Kanzet No Company, which blew my mind. It was unbelievably great. And my version is, if I were being insulting to myself, I would say that it's a little bit gift shop Japanese. It has Japanese symptoms, and it's meant to be as Japanese as Britten's was, which is to say not very.
Well, but there are some remarkable moments in the Britten score where, you know, the harp sounds like a koto, the Japanese zither, and the organ sounds like the sho.
And there's a chorus of eight men, which is how every single no play is done.
Right. So I want to play an excerpt from Curlew River. There's this moment in the song I Am the Ferryman where we hear this kind of drone that echoes the mouth organ, and then these male voices come in, and it really recalls the chanting of Japanese Buddhist monks. Mm-hmm. This is actually from Benjamin Britten's own recording of the piece all those years ago with the English opera group, orchestra, and chorus. From Benjamin Britten's parable opera, as he called it, The Curlew River, and that excerpt featuring sort of echoes of Japanese music in it, just as Mark Morris's version of Curlew River has echoes of Japanese theater in it. Isaiah Bell in the role of the madwoman in Curlew River, we were talking before about the link between the singers and the dancers. What is your relationship to the dance in the performance in Curlew River?
Well, in Curlew River, there are no dancers, or we are the dancers.
Those are two very different things you just said. Which is it?
There are brief sections of choreographed dance, but the rest is movement heavy, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. not dancing.
And does it feel Eastern? Does it feel Japanese?
Well, the great thing about Curlew River is that it doesn't have, with respect to Turandot and Madame Butterfly, it doesn't have that sort of, you know, quote, oriental feel mm-hmm. to it.
That postcard exoticism.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. That's the thing, one of the things that I really appreciate about it is that it inspired Britten to have a completely different language in his composition, but it doesn't sound derivative.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, Mark? You're conducting this piece as well, is that right?
No, this is conductorless.
Well, that's what I was going to say, yeah, because it isn't supposed to have a
it's
conductor.
It's a band of seven players who are on stage with the singers, so everybody's an equal participant.
So as opposed to the singers being stuck in the pit, as you mentioned before mm-hmm. in Dido,
right.
Everybody is out there.
Yes, exposed.
And so there is, you know, there is a lot to compare and contrast between these two mm-hmm. English operas, separated as they are by 300 years.
And this turned out to be a perfect pairing, partly in that it's a female tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I used a great deal of Southeast Asian ideas in my Dido and Aeneas. It's based, it doesn't look like, again, it's from my experience and my interest in my brain that it comes a little bit from Javanese dance, et cetera, and the gesturalism of South Indian dance, which I know I'm an amateur, but I've been an amateur for many decades.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Japanese aspects and the tragedy and the conciseness of these pieces. In Curlew River, I do they have zori and they perform origami and they have paper parasols and, you know, it's symptomatic of what we think about mm-hmm. Japan, but it's as ethnically, correctly Japanese as Benjamin Britten's thing. And, you know, if that is cultural appropriation, I think that's the only kind of culture there is, really. Somebody added the meatball, the tomato sauce to the spaghetti,
Even
though we're from different continents. So for me, I like it to be very open. I'm very interested in music of the world and in all sorts of cultures, so sue me.
And you alluded before to ASL, American Sign Language, mm-hmm. and a lot of the gestures, you know, they're very musical. One of my daughters is pretty fluent in ASL.
Oh, great.
And you know, to watch the signing in action,
mm-hmm.
there you could be put in mind of some of the mudras, you know, the hand gestures.
Certainly.
Of South Asia,
right.
And I mean, you can make those sort of connections without having to really work very hard at it.
That's good. We work hard so that you don't have
to. Right, right. And I don't mean to say that you haven't worked hard, just that, you know, it's not such a leap.
Right.
That
no, it's evident.
It makes sense.
You know, it's not It doesn't need program notes. They're both sung in English very well. I hope the diction is working. It usually does. And Brooklyn Academy Music, the Opera House, has a beautiful acoustic, and it's wonderful. It'll be wonderful.
And of course, at least in the case of Dido and Aeneas, there is one of opera's great hit tunes, Dido's Lament, When I Am Laid in Earth. In your performances, you've been working with Stephanie Blythe.
Yes.
And will that continue?
Absolutely, yes. For this week, anyway. I mean, we're friends, and she likes to work with me, and ditto. And
yeah.
She's obviously, like, a super fabulous singer.
So, super fabulous as Dido and as the sorceress.
Yes.
So, where you danced both roles, she sings both.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear in this recording conducted by Mark Morris from last year and a performance of When I Am Laid in Earth. That is an excerpt from Henry Purcell's famous aria, When I Am Laid in Earth, or better known as Dido's Lament in some circles. It's from his opera Dido and Aeneas, and this performance by the Mark Morris Dance Group Music Ensemble, conducted by Mark Morris. This opera and Benjamin Britten's opera, Curly River, both just about an hour in length, form a matched evening that Mark will be conducting at the Brooklyn Academy of Music between March 15th, which is Wednesday, through Sunday, March 19th. Isaiah Bell, the tenor who is part of the Curly River cast, is also here with us. And Isaiah, the we were talking before about the movements and the gestures and stuff. How much of that is kind of learned behavior for an opera singer in the 21st century, and how much of that is just kind of part and parcel of being an actor these days?
Well, that's an interesting question, because before I was an opera singer, I wanted to be an actor, and I was convinced by a friend of mine who was the sort of actor in our small town that it wasn't a good idea and that I should place my energies elsewhere. And so I've always
So wait a minute. The other actor in town told you not to become an actor as well.
Yes, you know, with the greatest love.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So I've always been very interested in being on stage, and I love being in opera. And fortunately, opera now is not what it was even 20 years ago. And so that's a part of opera that I really value and that I really enjoy every time I get to do it. And I've never done something quite like this before, but I have done Curly River before, and the stylized gesture is a part of it, even if the style is very different.
Right. So Mark, was there a kind of received movement tradition from the Curly River? You know, it's got to be close to 60, 70 years old at this point.
Well, there's they're very, very detailed design and staging instructions in the score that I don't use. So we got the permission from the estate to do the piece, but to me, that particular staging as very, very strictly notated. It's like the Beckett estate or something where you do this or you don't do it. Harry Parch is another one. And so I, you know, in referring to it, because I'm telling the same story, but, you know, it really says crosses to here and puts on this cloak. It's like, well, I'm not really going to do that. If anything, it's more no theater in that people were moving, well, they move slowly and at right angles and with very sort of symbolic gesture and again, a great conciseness of storytelling and physical activity.
Yeah.
So it's sort of spare, but it won't put you to sleep.
And for you as a storyteller, whether through dance, choreography, or conducting, how different is the experience of telling the story of Dido and Aeneas when it's you in front of the musicians and the singers leading the performance?
Well, first of all, it's how I learned that I have male pattern balding. I finally saw a photograph of myself conducting. Because in Dido, you know, you face the other way. Conductors face the wrong direction.
Right, for right.
It's like, wait a minute, what am I doing? So it's kind of fabulous because I have to stay ahead of things. If you just stop to listen, it grinds to a halt, like an old record player. And I'm pulling a performance out of other people instead of pushing one out of myself. So now I can say to the dancers the famous quote that has been misattributed to everyone, how would you like the music tonight, too fast or too slow? And the dancers say yes, and then I do it, you know. So it's like they get to torture me in a certain way that they don't always get to do. And it's also fabulous and fun and a real Gesamtkunstwerk, dare I say that?
Yeah, I think you just did. Yeah, okay. Very nicely pronounced as well. So actually, two of these little operas together in one evening from Wednesday the 15th through Sunday the 19th at the Brooklyn Academy of Music with the Mark Morris Dance Group and the Mark Morris Dance Group Music Ensemble. Mark, thank you. And Isaiah, thank you for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check out soundcheck.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.